good to see everybody out this evening. It was wonderful to come together to worship and study, put God first, and to be here to uplift one another as we have the opportunity to do so. As Charlie announced just a couple weeks back, that on Sunday nights, they've asked me to start presenting lessons on denominations. And plan on working towards that. There's a few lessons, I believe, to do an introduction to lead to that. I'm going to go ahead and start one of those tonight. But as we have that mindset of that coming up, if there is something that you are dealing with at the time, a certain teaching at this time that you're wanting to maybe put in the front, because there are so many denominations out there that maybe you would like to hear a lesson on a certain one before others, or anything specific that might be in that denomination that maybe I have. Again, there's a lot of different things in each, and can't guarantee that I'll hit everything on them. That you can let me know, or you can put it in the box back there, you can let the elders know, and we'll make sure that we try to make sure we do the best as we present lessons on those, and that we're teaching the truth, answering what questions there might be, and how to make sure that we are teaching the truth and consider those things. I'm considering putting the lessons together on that. I decided to put this lesson together and requesting your prayers. One, I am asking prayers for myself, but also in mindset that we should be praying for yourself individually and praying for the congregation as I present these lessons, but also in any time that you might be able to teach somebody that is in a different teaching, that is in a false doctrine, that is in a denomination. That we are wise in what we say, that as we go forth and find the right words, that we are going forth and speaking with kindness in our heart, that we have love in our heart, that we stand our ground in the truth, that we're wise with the words that we say, but we also continue to stand firm and bold in the truth, in the gospel of God. So that is the lesson I'd like to bring out this evening, just in mindset that, again, a reminder that as we put these lessons together, we're not here to prove that we are better and they are worse, to prove I am right and they are wrong, but rather to know the truth so that we can get to heaven and so that we can help others get to heaven also. And when that comes around, that we make sure that we know how to talk and not to chase anyone off, but hopefully to bring them to the Lord. And so the first thing I want to bring out, of course, is that we do see time again through the Word of God that we can pray for one another, that we should pray for one another, that we should be praying constantly for oneself and one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting there in verse 16, says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So again, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And so again, we should be continuously praying. We see Jesus pray so much in his life, his short life upon this earth, that his disciples, his apostles, asked him to teach them how to pray because they saw how important it was in his life, and that it's something that we should be taking in on ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, and of course the verses that lead up to this is speaking about the armor of God, but here in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, it brings it out here, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Again, we can find a variety of verses, many verses that tell us that we should be praying for all, praying for everybody, praying for our leaders. But also it brings out these verses here that we pray for all the saints. Pray for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, as we consider that it's coming off talking about the armor of God and putting that on. Why? Because we're wrestling against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. Because it is a spiritual battle out there, spiritual warfare that takes place. And part of that is, again, standing against false teachings, testing all spirits, testing all doctrines, and making sure that the truth is being taught. And so the way to do that, of course, is with the Word of God, and that we speak and teach the truth and be willing to listen to what others are saying, but also making sure we stand firm. And so we're going to pray that we can know the truth, pray that we can stand strong, pray that we'll be able to know the right path. In Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul often makes mention in his letters that he is praying for the brethren in whom he is writing to, and no different here in Colossians 1. And in verse 9, it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will and wisdom and spiritual understanding." So Paul says, we continue to pray that you grow in the Word of God, grow in the knowledge of Christ, grow in His wisdom. And so, again, we need to be praying for these things also, praying for each other, making supplications for each other, and, of course, giving thanks to our God. And so as we go forward, that we pray, maybe pray that we have the right words and that we have the willingness to speak up also. The willingness to speak, whether you're saying, "Well, I was just talking with somebody," which sometimes that's all it is. It is that we get in a conversation with one another. It doesn't feel like you're sitting there and actually teaching somebody, but you know, the talk that we have, being able to just go back and forth with our neighbor, with our friend, or someone that we speak to each other, or whether it is in a format of sitting down at a table, teaching and studying the Word of God, or even considering getting up and preaching. And we need to make sure that we do it in the right way. Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, and looking there in verse 21, if you will. Proverbs 18:21 reads and says here, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And again, we know that we can go to the book of James and read there in chapter 3, and it talks about the tongue a lot. It talks about how it's such a little member, and it can do such great things, and cause it talks about how a little kindle of fire can start a great forest fire. And so the tongue can do great damage also. And so here it brings out, in the tongue is life and death. You know, in the tongue is great power, and we need to make sure we control it. Make sure we use it in the correct way. So when we speak, we want to make sure we're speaking the truth as oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, again, if we're going to speak and we're going to start speaking on religion, we're going to speak about our faith, let us do our best to make sure we are speaking as oracles of God. I don't think oracles is often a time, a word that I hear that often being used just in everyday talk. Most of the time I hear about it is when I'm reading Greek mythology, and the oracle is the one that is coming and bringing that prophecy out to them about what is about to take place. And so here, as we go forth and we're speaking as oracles of God, we're speaking for God. Or we're speakers of the Lord. We're bringing His message. And so let us do that and make sure that it is the truth, that we minister according to the ability in which He has provided for us. Again, it's something that we should all be growing towards to become teachers, right? We should be growing towards that point to where we can stand up and teach the truth. In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12, Hebrews chapter 5, and looking there in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. To everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil." So, you know, we're supposed to grow to this point, to be willing to teach. Again, Jesus made it clear. He said, "He who confessed me before men, I will confess before the Father. And he who denies me before men, I will deny before the Father. So if we're not willing to stand up for the Lord, he's not going to stand up for us. And so when it comes to time that someone comes and asks you of your faith, we have to be ready to give an answer. We have to be ready to speak and teach the truth. And therefore, we have to know. We have to know what to say. We need to be willing to study the Word of God so that we can teach and grow. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of God so that we can lead others to the Lord. And so again, as we pray for one another, as we think about lessons that come ahead, that we pray that we speak and we speak wisely on these things. And so as we continue to teach, make sure that we have the right attitude as we approach it. Make sure that we do it in a proper way, that we do it with kindness, that we do it with love. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 15 and looking there in verse 4. Proverbs 15 and verse 4 reads, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." And I believe it was the ESV is what I have up there, the gentle tongue. A gentle tongue, again, that we're willing to make sure that the words that come out of our mouth are correct, that they are coming off with kindness and gentleness. And I know that there are times, and that's more of the last point of being bold, but times in which we do have to turn around and rebuke somebody. You know, when I think about Jesus rebuking Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan," I see that as a bold, strong rebuke. It wasn't a kind, gentle rebuke. And, you know, as Paul had to approach Peter, you know, there's times for it. There's times in which we have to get on to our children. We have to get on to somebody and just make it straight and clear. We have to be more loud, and it doesn't come off as gentle and kind. But the love is still there. The mindset and the purpose why we're there is not to just hurt them, right? In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 6, if you will, Colossians chapter 4 and looking there in verse 6. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Here it reads, it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Again, so I mean, how do you think your speech comes across? How does your lesson come across? Does it come across as someone who is loving them, someone who is there to give them the gift of God, someone who's there that it helps and inspires their life because, you know, you're seasoned it with salt, something that is good, right? And so it's speaking about how we talk to one another, that we make sure we consider the words that are coming out of our mouth. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15, 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15, we kind of referenced to this verse earlier, but to read it, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you." And so if I stop there, and mindset is, it brings out that, you know, we sanctify God in our hearts, and we've established Him there, and we guard Him there, and the truth, and then we're ready to give a defense, and we're on guard. We got the shield, and we got our sword and our helmet, where we're giving a defense. But then the last part of that verse, it brings out here, it says, with meekness or gentleness, in fear or respect, depending on your translation. And so with gentleness, with meekness, with kindness, with love, you know, that as we give a defense, but we're still looking at that person who may be in error, may be trying to teach us what we know to be wrong. Well, I'm not after them to beat them down. I'm not after them to tear them apart. I'm after them to teach the truth, to help them see the truth, to help them to see how God meant the Word of God to be applied, how He meant the Scriptures to work so that we can grow in His work. Again, I believe the fear and respect is referring to God and making sure that we don't alter His Word, that we continue in what He has given to us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4, and looking there in verse 15. As it reads here, it brings out, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And again, as you work your way up to that, go back to verse 11. Verse 11 says, and he himself gave some to apostles, some prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity and faith and knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men, and the cunningness and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is the head of God. Right, as we consider, everybody has their work, there's some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, and the different things in which we do. Why? It's all for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we can all grow in his word, so that we can stand firm and strong in the truth. Why? So that we're not tossed to and fro. As every wind of doctrine, every man who comes along teaching another doctrine, teaching another way, saying you can be saved like this, you can be saved like that, that you can choose your church and go wherever you want, that we'll know right from wrong. Because the truth has been spoken to us, and the truth that has been spoken in love. That we've grown in that, and that we take that and speak it in love also. So we want to make sure that we continue to speak with love in our hearts. In Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 18. Proverbs chapter 12 and looking there and in verse 18. It says, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. And again, as you look into the ESV, it says, rash words like a sword thrust. Rash words are like a sword that is thrust. And so again, we know how the mouth can do such harm, but the mouth can do such good. It depends on how you are using it. And so we want to make sure that we use it wisely, that we are kind as we speak to others, as we teach and we preach the truth, that we have love, that the reason for us going forth and preaching the Word of God and trying to teach others, and when we believe that they may be an error of their faith, that we are doing it with love and kindness. And backing that up, it'd be with doing it with truth and with wisdom. That we're doing these things in the truth and with wisdom. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and looking there and in verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That we are diligently studying the word of God. King James, studying to show thyself approved unto God, right? And so be diligent, study to present yourself approved to God. And how do we do that? How do we prove ourselves a worker? Because we have nothing to be ashamed. We know right from wrong. We are capable of dividing the word of truth. And so as we go forth and we teach, we know right and wrong. We know where the Bible stands. We know where the Bible says this is where this is the line you can't go past. You know, we understand the gospel. We understand his words. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. In 1 John chapter 3 and looking there and in verse 18. As it reads here, it says, my little children, let us love in word. Let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not enough to just be one who says, I love you and I love the world, but rather it says, love in deed and in truth. Let our love go beyond just what we say, but let it be seen. Let it be seen and let it be known because it's in truth, right? Someone who says, I love my neighbor, but then I continue to allow my neighbor to go down a path that I know does not line up with the scriptures, with the word of God, and I say nothing about it, is there true love in it? Right? Knowing that I can say something, knowing that I can say at least, hey, why don't you come to worship with me where you hope they'll hear the truth? Or do you believe in Jesus? Let us have a study and a talk. You know, well, whatever it may be, that we can guide him to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, the brethren in Corinth were certainly caught up in wanting to be about the wisdom of men, so much that they were caught up in saying that they were disciples of the men that had baptized them. I am of Paul, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Apollos. And so they were caught up in the wisdom of men and caught up in their own ways. And here again, we want to be caught up in the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." And so again, we come to the wisdom of Christ. The wisdom of our God is the one in whom we want to turn to. We don't want to get caught up in man's own ways. The way of men leads to death. We want to make sure we're caught up in the wisdom of God. And again, in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting there in verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of glory." Again, the wisdom of God. That when we go forth and we're going to speak and we're going to teach and we're going to make sure that the truth is being taught, and we're going to start saying that they're wrong in this, we want to make sure that we have God's wisdom backing us up. That it's not just me and my decision. I'm not the one that gets to declare, "Hey, this is the way we have to worship." I don't get to declare, "Hey, this is sin." I don't have that power. I do not have that authority. But God does. God has that power. God has that authority. And He has given it to us in the Bible, in the Scriptures. And so when we go forth and we teach and we're trying to make sure that we are on the right path and we understand where some are straying away so that we do not get caught up in it, but also so that we can help them get out of it, that we are backed up by the wisdom of God. In Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 2. Proverbs chapter 15 and looking there and in verse 2. As it reads here, it says, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pour forth foolishness." Again, let us make sure we speak wisely. So my final point this evening is that we speak boldly. You go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and look there in verse 18 is what we read earlier. And so we'll come down as after it talks about praying for one another, praying for all the saints. And you get down to verse 19, and it says, "And for me." You know, pray for all the saints and me. Paul even asks for prayers for himself, right? He says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so again, we are to be bold in our speech, in our teaching of the Word of God, that we stand strong in it. After all, you think about the armor of God. You think about putting all the armor on, that you're going to be standing strong after having done that. After you've shod your feet, after you put on your breastplate, after you girded your waist, after you grab your shield, put on your helmet, grab your sword. You are standing strong. You're ready to go into battle. You are prepared. And so now you need the confidence to go stand strong, to speak boldly as you ought to speak. In Acts chapter 4, if you will. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 29. This morning we talked about preaching Jesus, and we saw through the book of Acts, how they went forth and preached the word of God, and they would go forth and preach boldly. Acts 4, and looking there in verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Again, here it brings out your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. That they did not want to stop teaching the word of God, did not want to stop going forth and spreading the gospel, to preach and to do these signs and wonders in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 28 and in verse 31. Acts chapter 28 and in verse 31. Here, finishing the book of Acts, continuing to look at the history of the church as it began. It says, "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding them." Again, he went forth and preached with all confidence, knowing no one hindering him. He continued, went forth, and preaching as long as he could. And we need to do that ourselves. We need to make sure that we have confidence in the Word of God, confidence that our Lord is with us. Again, having that mindset there in Philippians 4, in verse 13, I know it's not saying that I can go forth and pick up a car and move it, but we have to quote it, right? Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." What Paul was saying is that in whatever state of life that he was in, he was able to get through it with the Lord on his side. Whether he was hungry, he was still able to stand strong in the Lord. Whether he was in prison, he was able to stand strong in the Lord. Whether he was shipwrecked and chained, or whether he was full and he was with brethren, he was able to stand strong and preach the truth, because the Lord was with him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, it comes down to, again, our confidence in the Word of God, that we are not ashamed of the gospel. So I have these two verses left. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 8, as it reads here, it says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." Here, as he writes to Timothy, he says, do not be ashamed of the gospel. As Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 1, that he himself is not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." That we need to stand strong, that we have confidence in the Word of God, that we believe in it, we trust in it, and we know that God is with us as long as we walk according to what the Scriptures have to say. So as we consider the lessons that are to come, as we think about denominations, as we think about Paul's teachings, we want to make sure that we speak wisely, that we speak in truth, that we speak kindly and with love, but we stand strong and we speak boldly also. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. If you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel, I want to encourage you to do that. And you have the opportunity to be baptized to wash your sins away. We insist you in doing that. If you have questions about that, please let us know. Come forward and ask us, or ask us in the back, however we can assist you. If there's anything else we can do for you, let it be known. As we stand.